Hello and a warm welcome to the Happy Hormones podcast. I'm Nikki Williams, award-winning nutritionist, author, speaker, mum, and founder of Happy Hormones for Life, helping women of all ages to improve their health and feel better than ever. Let's get into today's episode. Today I'm talking to Jane Lewis, author of Me and My Menopausal Vagina, about her story and why she wrote the book that she felt really needed to be written. Jane's passionate about trying to break the taboo around vaginal dryness so that women can get the help and support they really need. She's built up a huge social media following as women are finally speaking up about the suffering that they've been through. And if you're suffering in silence or you can't get the help you need, then I hope you find this episode helpful and do go check out her book, which is on Amazon. And please share this to anyone you know who might need it so that we can get the word out there that there is help available. I really want Jane to introduce herself and just tell us why on earth you wrote this book.
Hi, thank you for inviting me. As you said, my name is Jane Lewis and I am the face behind this book, Me and My Menopausal Vagina, that was actually co-written with my daughter. I put all the words down and she physically wrote them into the book for me. And why did it need doing? Because I suffer from vaginal dryness, which is a really an umbrella term. And vaginal dryness makes it sound as if it's nothing really. But it took me to the point of being almost suicidal. Pills had to be hidden away, etc. And then I went and had counselling with someone called Diane Danzenbrink. And I realised that there's lots of books out there on the market. But this was 2 years ago now, remember. So things have started to change. But there's nothing out there solely about vaginal dryness, which is actually officially called genitourinary syndrome of menopause. I have three daughters and a granddaughter, and I wanted the taboo of taboos to be broken. And I think 2 years on, there is definitely conversations around this subject, and women are definitely starting to talk.
Oh my goodness. So when I first started out 6 years ago, this was never mentioned. You know, even women themselves who were suffering would not bring it up as a symptom, even when talking to me. Even it was very, very difficult for women to talk about. What have you seen kind of change? You know, obviously you've written the book and that's obviously got the word out about this, but has there been any other changes in terms of getting women more, encouraging them to talk about this?
So I set up a Facebook group 3 years ago. So I had the group a year before, then I decided to do the book. And women were very shy about joining my group. But I also have an Instagram page and I'm nearing 9,000 now. And when I first started, ladies wouldn't comment on, because obviously Instagram is open, it's public. Ladies wouldn't comment on there, they're very private. But now they're actually talking about their problems. More and more women are talking about their vaginal problems. And I've had so much support from people like you and hugely with the medical profession. And the medical profession, a lot have read my book now and they actually say that they now realise that they are missing the vaginal dryness issues for many, many years. And it has got medics who are also changing the way they talk to and treat women, because a lot of the vaginal dryness is urinary problems that people don't realise.
That's incredible that you're changing the mindset of the medical world, because that was one of the issues, wasn't it? Because they weren't even aware of how bad it was for women. So what happened to you? What kind of symptoms did you have and how did it affect your life?
So I'm 54 now, and when this all really started, I was 45. Because there's a huge myth that vaginal dryness is only for postmenopausal women. Mm-hmm. Perimenopausal women can get it as well, including when you're having regular periods, and it's nothing linked to periods. And my group with, you know, 5,000 women in, I would say we are 50-50, 45-ish, and then the postmenopause one. So for me, I didn't actually have vaginal dryness particularly to start off with. I had a very watery discharge, which is, and that's why women think they have thrush, and actually they don't. It's often vaginal dryness. But I had the very common symptom that many women talk about, is painful sex to start off with. Yeah. Painful smear test. They are very often the two things that are the first things to start showing. I then had, because as I said, it's called genitourinary syndrome of menopause officially, which means the genital area, which is inside the vagina, and the external area, the vulva, and the urinary area, which is the bladder and the urethra. So I was getting constant UTIs. I'd never had UTIs in my life. I was getting up to go to the toilet 2, 3, 4 times a night, sometimes every hour on the hour. I'd got externally, my vulva was burning, itching, sore, splitting on the old episiotomy scar. 20, 30, 40 years later, and mine was starting to split. And although I sound extreme, I am on the badder, on the sort of scale where I'm quite bad, but there are lots of me in my group. I'm very normal. There are, you know, women that, because not everyone has the external pain. So a lot of women, they're so-called, and I don't say just because it's not just, but their pain is just when they have sex. Mm. So a lot of women stop having sex because they stop communicating with their partners. So they can still wear their skinny jeans or whatever and they look fine. But actually, when you start asking questions, oh, yes, I go to the toilet a lot. Yes, I keep going to the doctor for UTIs. So I had everything. And my prolapses are starting to get worse. So if you don't know what a prolapse is, that's where basically your internal organs like your vagina and it's also your cervix and your womb and your bladder can all start to drop down through the lack of oestrogen.
And did you go to the doctor about it? Obviously, that you were in a lot of pain.
Yeah, so I went to the doctor. And because I was 45, that was like a... they couldn't accept at the beginning that it was to do with being menopausal. So I, to start off with, was given a wrong diagnosis, but I then very quickly, I went onto a forum called Menopause Matters with Dr. Heather Curry, who owns that, and there's something there called the Burning Club, and I suddenly realised that I had all these symptoms. So I did do a bit of what's called doctor shopping, because believe me, when you can't sit down, you can't wear trousers, you can't wear jeans, you can't... I had to stop riding my horse. You do doctor shop because you want to be able to help. But I did, yeah, eventually find someone who realised that this was hormones, yeah, when they examined me, because my inner labia, they had almost, like butterfly wings, they were on the point of being completely see-through. And all these things that you don't realise because we don't normally examine ourselves.
Yeah, now tell us a little bit about examining, and when did you start doing that, and what did you find?
I know. Well, like many women, I'd had my eldest child now is 34 years. I had 3 and 4 years, and I looked after I'd had my last child and vowed never to look again, because quite honestly, it looked like a car crash. And if you don't have any problems, you don't look. However, we look at our faces, we check our breasts, we look at ourselves everywhere else, and it's the one part of the body we don't. And I've never looked, and it never entered my head that I needed to look. But once I was getting very, very sore, because I had to stop riding my horse, I had a look one day, and all I remember thinking was, I don't know what it looked like, but it definitely did not look like this. So, you know, I got out a shaving mirror. You know those mirrors that you can turn around? And it was quite a shock, because it was raw, raw red. The episiotomy scars were on the verge of splitting, as I said, my inner labia, etc. And it's really important that we do examine ourselves every month as routine, because now I'm in this sort of area of vulvas and vaginas, I realise there are a huge amount of skin conditions out there. And we all assume thrush. Everyone thinks every itch leads to thrush. Actually, there are a lot of skin conditions of the vulva that have very similar symptoms to thrush, including vulva cancer and lichen sclerosis. And so it's very important we don't self-treat.
And what are we looking for? Redness?
So basically, when you examine yourself, you need to... it's not a case of just opening your legs and looking. When you open your legs, that is what is called your vulva. So you need to get your fingers. That's why you have a mirror. Mine balances on the bed with my legs open. And you can really examine it. And you're feeling for lumps. You're looking for splits. And then you open up the inner labia. And that bit is actually called the vestibule. That bit. So you've got there. And the vestibule is often the bit that can be very painful, because the vestibule is basically like the inside of your mouth. It's a mucosal membrane, and it's there. So you imagine when you get perhaps a sore mouth or an ulcer and all those things in the mouth, how uncomfortable they can be, and burning mouth syndrome we can get with menopause, which is due to, again, the lack of estrogen in the mucosal membranes. All these things can happen in the vestibule and vagina area. So you are looking for redness, you are looking for whiteness, you are looking for sores, darkness, moles. And basically, it's getting to know your normal. So if after a month, anything is there that you're not happy with, or you see something that is really quite shocking, because I do know of the odd lady that didn't have pain with an ulcer, and they saw an ulcer and they went to the doctor and it was, yeah. So you can take photographs and you can get them, you lock them down or something. I don't know how that works, but you can lock them within your phone so people can't, you know, get to them. So you just need to find out what's your normal, because if we have a sore face, we look at it and we get the doctor to look at it, don't we? You know, we have to have the same mentality for our vulvas and stop self-treating. It's so important not to self-treat.
And would they pick it up on a smear test or anything like that? Because that's the only situation I can think of that somebody might have a look.
Yeah. So I know. So, you know, smear tests, you think, you would hope and assume that the actual nurse or doctor doing them knows all about vulva skin conditions and will they have a look. No, they don't really. They open the inner labia and they sort of just go straight through and in, unless there is something absolutely obvious. So you need to become vulva aware, and it's really good to start looking, you know, because I've got one of my daughters 30 and she was quite shocked that I was having to tell people to look, because she's always looked herself, she's always been intrigued to what things look like. But the older generations probably don't, we were never told to, but it is important. So anything that looks wrong, and something that looks almost white and shiny and paper thin, that is quite often a sign of lichen sclerosis. But we can have vaginal dryness that can also make us look pallor and raw red. All these things can have very similar symptoms, and they need different treatments. And it's often you can have more than one skin condition as we get older. And the things that we used to be able to use, like, we shouldn't use anyway, I realise now, but say, I don't know, fabric conditioners, anything that smells, really, the vulva doesn't like. And especially as we get older, it doesn't like those things.
Yeah, and some of those are hormone disrupting anyway, so we don't want those anywhere near us. So what is the role of estrogen? Tell us a little bit about what happens as we go through menopause and why this all happens to us.
So as obviously you know, and your listeners know, women are estrogen from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes, and the entire body, and especially the pelvic area, the pelvic floor area. Not everyone actually knows what their pelvic floor is, but it's you need to look it up to really understand it. But the pelvic floor is like a bowl, a basin, and that contains all your organs. You've got your anus at the back, then you've got your vagina, you've got your bladder, and it's holding all these things in place. And then as estrogen basically declines, as in plummets, we can see what's happening to our faces. You know, things are starting to go south, our breasts are. We can become itchy, something called formication on the skin externally. You think you've got ants, your skin becomes dry. Well, exactly the same is happening in the vagina, in the bladder, in the urethra, and the outer skin externally. The vulva and vagina and bladder are not, you know, they don't suffer the same symptoms, because they do. It's why I never understand when, you know, doctors or whoever say, oh, you know, you can get all these things, we can get the itchy skin and we can get that, but they seem to think it stops at that area.
Yeah.
There's no entry area that says, no, you can't have this bit. And also very common is an itchy back passage, because that is still part of the pelvic floor, the you know, the vaginal dryness, very often that as well. There's no sort of, you know, electric fence that says, no, this side is fine and this side isn't, you know.
It's itching anywhere, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Itching sore. Yeah.
So what do we do, Jane? What are the options for women when they find themselves suffering from these kind of issues?
So you can get the vaginal moisturisers, which they go internally in the vagina. There are some better than others, but what I would say is I wouldn't be self-treating with any of these things personally, because some preparations, especially if you're hurting externally, have something called lidocaine in, which is basically a number. You know, it's numbing the pain. You shouldn't be numbing something that you don't know that you are numbing. But ultimately, the vagina, bladder and vulva love estrogen, because what's happening to the vagina inside, it's what's called is shortening and tightening and becoming thinner. So in our younger days, it was almost like if you think of a you know, pleated curtains at the top, the vagina could open out and it for a baby to come out and the penis to go in. As we age, basically that all becomes almost straight and flatter within size. So everything becomes shorter and tighter and thinner, and the external area. So it loves estrogen. And I'm not pushing estrogen on people, because there are those that are very scared of it, and we all know that a lot of that is mispressed. But to use it locally in the vagina, If you say use it twice a week, although they now realise that isn't enough for many women, you can go up to higher. But using it twice a week is equivalent to, if we had 50 weeks in the year, that's 2 a week. 2 a week is one HRT pill per year. So the amount in it is very, wow, very, very small. And there are those that have had estrogen receptive breast cancer who can and do use localised estrogen because they suffer dreadfully from all the drugs and the chemotherapy. And we have to also realise that the vulva, the area, is also what's called an androgen receptor. Mm-hmm. So it likes testosterone as well. In America, they're further ahead of the game, I would say, regards testosterone and estrogen, because there, if you lived in America, they quite often, what they do is they call compound the small amounts of estrogen and testosterone into a cream for the vulva area. In the UK, we don't do that, but you can use testosterone that you say rub on your tummy or your arm if you get it prescribed, because it's off license, etc. But that can also help. And then there's roughly 20 to 25% of us who need HRT as well, purely for our vaginal dryness area. And it's the actual HRT that helped me more than the localized estrogen.
That's really interesting, actually.
And I would say it's a lot of ladies in my group are, it's the estrogen, the HRT, the full HRT that has been the icing on the cake, and then the testosterone on top. Because if you look up, you know, actually urogenital atrophy and the role of testosterone, it does say the urogenital area as well. It has a part to play. And it seems to have got forgotten. So for those more complicated women, then we need everything thrown at us.
Because that systemic HRT is going to have other factors anyway, isn't it? Mm. So, you know, you have other protectors.
And I'm always...
The localised might be enough. But there are two types, aren't there? Can you just explain the two types of localised treatments?
Well, so there's lots of different products in the UK we can get. There's actually 8 different products we can get within the UK on prescription. I don't know about Ireland. But the most commonly used is something called Vagifem, which is a tiny little pessary that goes into the vagina and releases a small amount. We then have two types of pessaries. So we have Vagifem and we have something called Imvagis. Their pessaries. We then have two types of cream. We have Ovestin and we have Estriol. So the two creams are a type of estrogen called Estriol. The pessary, the Vagifem, is estradiol. We then have a ring called an East ring. It's round, it's almost like calamari, I guess. You put it in the vagina and it sits there for 90 days and releases the equivalent of just over 5 Vagifem per week into the vagina. We then have something called Interosa. We have something called Blissel, and then there is a pill for those who can't tolerate any of those that can be swallowed. So there is quite a lot of choice, and quite often, you know, the first one may not work, or you may need a combination. Some ladies need a combination of an estradiol and an estriol. Mm. And a lot of ladies need something inside and then something externally as well. So it's not a case of one size fits all. It can be a lot of trial and error for the more complicated ladies. And I personally use an oil externally as well every day, because we moisturize our faces. So I use personally something called Olive and Bee that I like, but there are other products as well.
Like a natural moisturizer. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's really interesting. So what do, if a woman goes to her doctor and asks for this stuff, how likely is that she's going to get it? And if she can't get it from her main doctor, what other ways could she get it?
So when you go and see your GP, I'm assuming you're going without soreness, anything, if you can feel your vulva or vagina all the time or your bladder, there's something wrong. You shouldn't be able to feel those all the time. So you go and see your GP, and, you know, GPs are amazing, but they do not have x-ray eyes, okay? This is the one area where creams seem to be dished out without examining and always saying it's thrush. So I hear again and again, ladies will go and see their GP with soreness, burning, itching, in the perimenopause, menopause years, here's some thrush cream, they've never been examined. Hey presto, the symptoms very often get worse, or they get better for a short time because there's ingredients in thrush cream that will help any condition. And it doesn't mean to say you had thrush if it made you feel better. So you shouldn't be having thrush without a swab. You then ask to be examined, and the only problem is with vaginal dryness is that medics want to see it. Once you can see how bad it is when it is has become bad. We now know that the symptoms that you are suggesting, if you're in that age bracket, are very suggestive of, regardless of whether your vulva looks bad or not, because quite often they say you look good for your age. What does that mean? So you would want to be examined, and if they sort of are against local estrogen, it can't be that because you don't fit the criteria. They seem to want you to be quite often of 60 plus. Just say, I'd like to try 3 to 6 months worth of you know, Vagifem, etc. But I'm afraid you do potentially have to become your own detective. You have to become, knowledge is power. You have to educate yourself. There are also amazing GPs out there who absolutely know, you know, immediately what it is, but a lot needs educating. So you may have to just look at the NICE guidelines and really look and understand what vaginal dryness is and the symptoms it can cause. And if you're constantly having, say, 3 days worth of trimethoprim or nitrofurantoin for repeat UTIs, you're having them once, twice a month, which is very common, and they keep coming back and coming back, then you need to start thinking about localised oestrogen, because the bladder, as I said, dries out in the same way, and a dry bladder and urethra allows bugs to take hold more. So I'm not saying you're not having infections, you potentially are, but for many, going on the oestrogen plumps the bladder up again and those infections don't take hold as much.
I presume that helps with incontinence and frequent urination as well, because the bladder's not able to hold enough.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, for myself, my cervix was starting to prolapse. It was coming down. It wasn't coming out, but it was coming down. And within a few weeks of full HRT, it had sprung back up again. Yeah. Because everything in the pelvic floor, the ligaments, the muscles, all basically relax and go south more.
It's fascinating, Jane, and such an important conversation. I would urge anyone listening who's got these, any of these symptoms, to firstly buy your book, because then they're getting that education and knowledge that they need to go and talk to their doctor about it. And secondly, probably join your Facebook group and ask advice and questions in there if they've got anything else they need to know. Is that?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the group is called Vaginal Atrophy. And then my Instagram page, which is where I post a lot of mini videos with it, and I have a lot of medics follow me, is called My Menopausal Vagina, because not everyone wants to be on Facebook.
Your page is brilliant. I often watch your videos and I've learnt a lot. So I thank you very much for that. And thank you so much for speaking out about this very, very difficult issue for many women. And it takes people like you that have the courage to speak out to make it everyone else feel comfortable doing that as well. So brilliant work, Jane. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for inviting me.
So that everyone can access your work.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and do spread the word to any women in your life that you think would benefit. If you'd like to get in touch with me about how we can help you, do visit happyhormonesforlife.com/contact. See you next time.